You are now listening to the Photography Enthusiast Podcast. Welcome to another episode of the Photography Enthusiast Podcast. As always, I am your host, Daniel Lee, or Photos by DLEE. Today, we are talking about the Canon EOS M50 Mark II and just my short review of it. What I think of it after owning it for, I'd say, nearly a month now. A lot shorter I'm doing the review compared to the R6, but I feel like I've got a lot better feel for this one because it's similar to the other Canon EOS M mount bodies that I've used. Just, you know, a few minor changes, that sort of stuff. So it won't take as long to get through or long to sort of learn and really get a good feel for the camera. As always, this will just be a special episode focused on the review. No news, no what I've been up to. So let's get into it. So I don't know if I should even say this, I will keep saying it even though I don't think it's required, but I bought the Canon EOS M50 Mark II with my own money. I am not sponsored in no way or form. When you look at this review, you will not see any affiliate links. I do not have any. This is purely my hobby that I do for fun, and I share these reviews and my thoughts and techniques and tips or whatever for fun. That's all it is. Some people, especially if you're a mod on DP Review, don't seem to know what the definition of commercial is, but you know, that's another story for another day. So to begin with, so what we'll do is we're going to follow the same format as the written review, so a lukewarm response. So when I was looking at purchasing the M50 Mark II, I always look at reviews myself to see, you know, is this camera worth getting? Is it going to be much of an upgrade over what I currently have? And when looking at these reviews, let's just say the response is a bit lukewarm, if it's the best and kindest way of putting it. Now, in general, I feel like the M series, you know, has a pretty good rep. I own the M3, the M5, now the M50 Mark II. You know, most people, it's like got a cult following for this series. They're not the highest spec cameras. They're not even the most expensive. They're actually really well priced usually. And they're not, you know, the most technically perfect cameras, but they do the job so well. And the lenses they do have, even though they are limited, are really great quality. So when it comes to these reviews and them being not too favorable in terms of this new body, is there reason behind it? To a sense, yes. So when it comes to if you're looking at the M50, the M50 Mark II, a lot of people will say that this camera should have been released as pretty much just a firmware update. There wasn't enough to justify a new version. When you look at the main differences, like when you look at specs versus specs, mainly you have IAF and servo, which to me is a massive upgrade. Slightly lighter weight, it's only like 20 grams or something. I doubt anyone would even be able to tell the difference holding them side by side. Better battery life, that one, you know, you may see. I find I don't go through batteries that quick because I don't shoot that much as well, so depends on you. And then vertical video, which is, you know, for people who want to do it for social media, which to me, you know, obviously video and TP, no. Now, I just full disclosure, I had never used the original M50, so I can't say what it's like. If you are upgrading, you know, if you have the or wanting to buy one right now, from what I could see, the M50 was on sale for $797, whereas I got the M50 Mark II for $855. So $60, you know, for a newer version with those upgrades, to me is worth it. It's not like they're charging a significantly higher amount for something. I honestly think this camera was marketed or designed more for people who didn't have an M camera at all. You know, say you're like me who had the M5, M3, M2, M100, someone who had an older body and wanted to upgrade to something newer, but didn't want to pay the full price for the M6 Mark II. That said, that's just my guess and my opinion. Who knows if that's actually correct, but hey, you know, usually, especially with the lower end bodies, if you look at it, say the Rebel cameras, so your 550D, 600D, 650D, 700D, when would you ever go from the M50, if you go from the 550, then upgrade to the 600D, then the 650D, then the 700D. They weren't designed to be upgraded like that. Usually with these cameras, you would get one of them, say 750D, then from there, you would either go to a full frame or you go to like a 70D, 80D, or your 7D Mark II, whatever. That you wouldn't get each version. So that's why I see these M50 as being like that. The M50 Mark II is just like another Rebel camera. Why upgrade to a, you know, from M50 to M50 Mark II? It's not worth the upgrade. That's why it doesn't have to be a huge jump over it. But, you know, once again, my opinion. Now, I call this body a worthy upgrade for some. So, as I mentioned, I came from the M5, which I think is about 5 years old itself now. I got that right after launch, so you know, it's a good body still. In terms of sensor, I'm pretty sure they actually share the exact same sensor. Same 24 megapixels. You'll see many sites say that, you know, this camera has a newer processor, which helps with noise reduction, you know, in high ISO JPEGs and that sort of stuff. So it does help in that sense. But in terms of the actual, you know, dynamic range, that kind of stuff, I doubt you would see any difference between this and the M5. I never had any issues with the M5 dynamic range, and I don't with the M50 Mark II either. You know, if you use it compared to something like a Canon R6, R5, you would notice the difference in dynamic range. When you use those cameras at anything up to, say, ISO 800, you see they're a lot cleaner in the shadows and everywhere in general. Whereas on, you know, the M50 Mark II, all that 24 megapixel sensor, M5, all that kind of stuff, you do get a little bit of noise at those ISOs. Even if you're at a lower ISO, it's not as clean as you would get from Canon's newer sensors, which is understandable. They are, you know, this sensor is not exactly the newest one to date. So if you're like me, you know, you had the older body M5, maybe even original M6, M3, this is going to be a really good upgrade for you. So, you know, when I first had my 6D, my original 6D, and then I sold that and had the M5, and I was using that until I got the 6D Mark II, I really enjoyed that camera. Back then, that autofocus seemed like next level. Seems so much better compared to a DSLR, which probably honestly is compared to one of those old DSLRs like a 60. You can focus anywhere on the screen. The accuracy was great. But compared to newer cameras, it just can't hold up. So I would use my M5 alongside my, you know, A7 Mark III, and I could never be happy with it in terms of autofocus. It always seemed so slow, so sluggish. It didn't just focus where I wanted to focus. The same thing when I got the R6, which is even a step up over the A7 Mark III in terms of autofocus. The M5, you know, just was not being used. I can honestly say it's got to the point now, since I got the M50 Mark II, I've actually been using that more than my R6 just because it's so small and light. I can carry this thing pretty much anywhere with me. I've been carrying that with the 32mm f1.4 STM lens and the Sigma 56mm. I've been carrying both lenses. Usually I only ever carry one lens, but because it's such a light kit, I can carry both and just swap it out when I need it. When it comes to the autofocus, I don't think it's on the same level as the R6 still, but it is significantly, I would say, day and night better than the M5. I absolutely love using the autofocus on it, to be honest. It tracks so well. Like, you know, if I've been doing a little bit of street photography, if I focus, tap on someone to focus, it'll track them for ages. Even if I try and use IF, it actually works really well and tracks as well. Pretty much whatever I've thrown at the camera, the M50 Mark II, it's actually been able to keep up and really, really impressed me. In terms of high ISO, I still don't think, you know, like I said before, it's as good as a full frame camera or one of the newer cameras. That's probably where its main weakness would be. And that's where I'm like, yeah, I definitely still need a full frame camera. So, you know, like the next section, which I've pretty much been covering already, still an amazing and capable camera. When you hold it, you know, it does feel a bit cheaper compared to the M5 in some ways. So the screen, because it's got that texture on the back, I feel like it actually has a bit more of a solid feel to it. And not to mention, yep, the fully articulating screen is amazing. I love it. Every camera should have it now. You know, and remember, I am still zoning no video, but it is a lifesaver to have this screen. In the remainder of the body, you know, it does feel not as solid. Even though they, you know, the M5 didn't feel like the most robust body, it did feel a bit more solid compared to this. It's probably even cheaper plastic, but it doesn't mean it's bad at the same time. When it comes to this body, what I've been using it for, I've pretty much been using it for everything. So if you look at the photos, you'll see I've been, you know, when I go out to eat, been taking it random street shots. I even did the cityscape with it the other day. When I went to shoot with my R6, I took both my tripods and I had them sat next to each other. And to be honest, even though I was using different lenses, different focal lengths, I actually kind of liked the image from the M50 a little bit better. It had nothing to do with the, you know, quality of the camera. I think it was more the lens. That 32mm just renders images so nice and it's so sharp. It could probably match, if anything, the 32 or 35mm f1.8 from Canon in that sense, because it is that impressive. If you want to know what sort of lenses I've been using it with, the kit lens, I did use it for one photo of my birthday sort of thing, just as, you know, a group shot, that kind of stuff, because it's the widest lens I have on any system at the moment, believe it or not. Aside from that, the main lenses I use are the Canon EFM 22mm f2 STM, the EFM 32mm f1.4 STM, and the Sigma 56 f1.4 DCDN. That last one, the Sigma, I got after getting the M50 Mark II, and oh my god, it's such a good lens. I think that's what's also prompted me to use the M50 Mark II a lot more, is because that lens is so nice, so sharp, and so much fun to use. If you know, are familiar with the M system, you know how good the 22mm is as well. It's not the optically most amazing lens, but it is really good for the size and weight. It pretty much makes the M50 Mark II a pocketable camera. I'm hoping to attend a live WWE event later in the year, and they don't usually allow bigger cameras, but I'm hoping because the M50 Mark II is so small, I'll be able to take that in with the 22mm, just so I can get like a shot of the arena kind of thing. Because I have a photo of it from an old point and shoot when I was a teenager and I went to go watch it, so I'd love to be able to do one again now just to show the difference in quality. And you know that I'm still taking photos, still watching wrestling. Well, I took a break, but you know, still doing that same stuff sort of thing. So it would be really good to be able to show. And with the M50 being so small and light, it's possible with that. In terms of what I don't like about the camera, there's not much, and most of the things are nitpicking, but there is one thing that's not nitpicking that I would love, but would also not be possible in a sense, which is IBIS, so in-body image stabilization. The reason why I say not so much possible, I don't think they could maintain the same price point if they put IBIS in, because that's just going to drive the price up. So that's why at this level of camera, it's like a rebel camera. You have to think of it like that. It's not likely to see it. But in saying that, if you think about the lenses I use on this camera, none of them have IS. So because of that, I have to always be more wary of my shutter speed. After using the A7 Mark III and especially the R6, which has the best IBIS out of any of the cameras I've owned anyway that had it, which is this, that or the Sony, I got so used to just dragging the shutter and shooting at slow shutter speeds and not having to worry about the shutter speed because of IBIS. So not having it is a bit more difficult, and I'm not good at hand holding. I'm actually quite shaky, so that is one downside for me. Although the touchscreen is, you know, really good, really responsive, really quick to change stuff, it would be good to have at least one more dial, just so that way you can have one for shutter speed, one for ISO, and then, you know, you can just use a manual function button to change your ISO like usual. I mean, one for shutter speed, one for aperture. But, you know, obviously being a cheaper camera, they didn't want to put too many dials on it. I feel like I guess there's obviously electronics and design behind those, each dial, so it does make a difference. Or if, you know, the EFM lenses had control rings, that would be perfect. Then you just don't need that second dial. You can just use a control ring. But sadly, they don't. So that's one thing. Now, this one is really, really nitpicky, I'd say. But my M3 and my M5 both came with hot shoe mount covers. You know, those little things you can slide in to protect the hot shoe. For me, it's not even just about protecting the hot shoe. It's like an aesthetical thing. I like the way it looks with that on. I actually have one for my R6 that I put on, because Sony, it comes with that. The M3, the M5 came with that, but the M50 Mark II didn't come with that, and I don't know why. It's like a $1 piece of plastic. They could just sort of include it in there, but sadly they didn't. That was probably like a minor disappointment. Luckily, I had that spare one laying around, so I've got one in there, so, you know, looks nicer. If only they made the actual painting of the hot shoe area black as well, like on Sony, it would look even better, much more sleek in a way. Well, that pretty much summarizes my review of the M50 Mark II. As I said, it's a very casual camera. It's not the type of thing that, you know, if you're wanting to do events, paid work is the kind of camera you would use. I see this as more of being a second body. For those who sort of more veterans, you know, been shooting for a long time, you're a heavy enthusiast, this is like a second body that you can get to carry around with you and complement your other body. If, you know, for example, you're just starting out, I think this is a great body to get as well. Since there's no, you know, Rebel mirrorless cameras, this is what I would recommend. If you get this and say the 22 and the Sigma 56, you can shoot a large variety of stuff. Or even the 32 and the 56 would be a great combo. You know, some people may wonder if it's worth even investing in the M mount, you know, considering there's the RF mount and no one knows what the future of it is like. For me, it didn't stop me. It doesn't change the fact that these are great cameras right now. They're great cameras to own. You know, if Canon, what I'm hoping they're going to do is actually put more effort into the M series. So generally, you know, when people own APS-C cameras and they go to full frame, they'll often get full frame lenses and sell off that APS-C gear anyway. So why not keep the M mount as your sort of entry level APS-C cameras that, you know, for beginners and just casual people. And then for someone who wants an APS-C camera for the type of shooting they do, like sports, wildlife, that kind of stuff, but they plan to use more pro gear, just release a pro size, you know, like a R6 size, pretty much your R7. Release your R7. And then they can use EF lenses with that for their wildlife and that. And then that, you know, the M line can take over from the Rebel line. It could be the successor, the M500, M550D, M600, M600D kind of thing. To me, that makes sense because these cameras have been so popular in Japan and even other areas of the world, they're very popular. There makes no sense to actually stop selling them. But who knows what they're going to do with it. It's all prediction, but Like I said, that shouldn't stop you from buying a camera like this. It's a great camera to use. It's so much fun. The autofocus is so much better. So if you do have an older body, anything from say like the M6 or older, you would probably honestly really enjoy the autofocus and feel like it's a massive step up. If you have an M50 Mark I, save your money. It's not worth it for you. So I hope you've enjoyed this review. If you did, make sure to subscribe to the podcast. I cover all different sort of topics. Every fortnightly I release, even the articles on the Photography Enthusiast don't come out that often. So you're not going to get spammed with a ton of stuff you don't want to hear about. It's once a fortnight, once a week, usually at most. So yeah, thank you very much for listening. My name's Daniel. See you later.